scripture from the Gospel of Matthew is perhaps one of the most amazing things that Jesus ever said. It's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is on a mountainside, on a hillside, speaking without benefit of amplification to a multitude of people who have gathered there to hear his words, to hear his spiritual teachings. And after the Beatitudes, the blessed are the poor, the meek, the peacemakers, Jesus says this: "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world." Think about who he's saying this to. He's on a hillside in Palestine, speaking to people who have walked out from the villages nearby to hear him, speaking to peasants. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So you are driving down a lonely highway, nearly glassy-eyed at 3 a.m., as those white strips just seem to whiz right by. You notice the glow on the horizon first, soft light, sort of like the shopping center on the other side of town, but growing brighter almost by the moment, until at last you come over a hilltop and you are stunned. Stunned by the dazzling color, the intensity, the radiance of the city below. Las Vegas, from a distance, in the middle of the night, is a sight to behold. When you finally reach the city and you drive down the strip, it's impossible not to be excited by the energy and the brilliance of the place. But when you stay there for a while, when you sort of get used to the glitz and the glamour, when you hear that sound, that constant sound, the ching-ching-ching, ching-ching-ching, ching-ching-ching-ching-ching, ching-ching-ching, ching-ching-ching, almost as though someone expects it to actually sound like music to your ears, when you see what's behind the curtain, it's really quite easy to see that this flashing, vibrant, neon-lit place is not the light of the world. In the foreground, there is a slender column of white stone rising to a point in the darkened sky. It's a monument to our first president, and you have come to celebrate the birthday of our nation. And in the sky, the fireworks are beginning to explode above our nation's capital. Flames of orange and blue and red and gold erupt and spread themselves, spangle themselves in the nighttime air. It's spectacular. Yet the power and the prestige of Washington, D.C., like the power and prestige you find anywhere, are fleeting as the smoke of the fireworks that sort of just drift off into the sky. No, not even these glorious fireworks have brought us the light of the world. You're watching TV and someone is doing things that should not be done. They're on a thin board. They are hurtling down a hillside at speeds some of us wouldn't want to drive our automobiles. And one in particular is doing something truly exceptional, although unless you really know about snowboarding, you don't really know what it is that they're doing that's exceptional. All you know is they're riding this metal rail in some incredibly balanced way, and then they're coming to some ridiculously inclined hill, and suddenly they're in the air and doing twists and turns and flips and sometimes waving and landing this thing somehow, and then hurtling down the hill to the next flip, the next thing to do. And somehow, again, in ways that I'm sure some people understand, but I do not, somehow one of them is clearly the best. And they step up onto a podium, and they bend over. And as he bends over, someone places around his neck an orb of gold. And as he stands straight again, music begins to play, and the lights are flashing as photographs are taken one after another, and the bright light and the white of the snow. It's really a glorious setting, and that gold medal catches the light, and it glitters and shines. But as fantastic as that moment is, and as an amazing achievement as it is for anyone who even shows up at the Olympic Games, much less gets a gold medal, you know that glittering is not the light of the world. The sanctuary, the shadows of light from a single candle dancing on the walls. It's Christmas Eve, not so many weeks ago. And we have heard the words of Jesus, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." And we begin to pass the light from the Christ candle, person by person, pew by pew. First the ushers down the center aisle, then to each person. And the light is passed, and one by one, each face is illuminated as the light from that single candle spreads through the sanctuary. I look out in the congregation from my privileged place here, a view that everyone should have. I see the face of a Meals on Wheels volunteer who brings not only a warm lunch but a pleasant voice and a human touch to someone who may not see either. I see the face of a man who has chosen to be a father figure to a boy who has no father. I see the face of a scout leader whose kids are long gone, but continues to selflessly give his time to serve the children of others. I see the face of the woman who leads children's worship every other week to make sure that our kids know that this place is their home too. I see the faces of people who, more than 20 years ago, when asked if our church could be a shelter for people who were homeless one night a week, they didn't list all the problems and all the obstacles, but instead said, "Let us find a way." And I see countless faces of others who have spent some portion of a night in our fellowship hall or our gym to make sure there was a warm place for those folks to stay. I see the face of a young person who really cares about her fellow teenagers and will answer her cell phone even in the middle of the night, even though her parents don't know that. But will answer her cell phone in the middle of the night for a friend who needs a listening ear. I see the face of people who went to Katrina, among the many other trips, and knew what that was like to be in the middle of Home Depot in Biloxi, Mississippi, and to find church people from all over the country who had come there to make a difference for those folks who had lost everything. I see the faces of people who I know work in oppressive work environments and yet somehow still commit to acting with dignity and to treating each and every person there with respect, even if they're the only one doing so. It's Christmas Eve, and the candlelight spreads, and I see faces, your faces. And suddenly I know what Jesus meant when he said, "You are the light of the world." You, imperfect as we all know ourselves to be, you, as busy and crazy as you feel with this 90-mile-a-minute life that we all live, you, yes, you are the light of the world. The light of the world doesn't come from Las Vegas. The light of the world does not come from Washington, D.C. The light of the world doesn't come from Sochi, even though we're going to see all kinds of amazing things there. The light of the world comes whenever someone acts with compassion, whenever someone acts with kindness, whenever someone reaches out with love or a listening ear or a cup of coffee, or who speaks a word of hope. It just might be the most amazing thing that Jesus ever said. You are the light of the world. You, yes, you are the light of the world. And that, my friends, is the word of the Lord to you today. Pray with me. Oh Lord, let your light indeed shine through us in what we say, what we do, how we live. For your sake, for our own sakes, and for the world's sake. Amen.